Audio courtesy of the Kevin Stefanski Show. Right here on The Fan. Morning.
Kenny, I'm excited for football Sunday. Just put it that way.
So are you?
Turn the page. I was thinking about it.
You want to? Do we got to get the Michael Stanley going?
Is the, I don't even know.
I don't know if we should get the Michael Stanley going because we're about to talk about Tua Tagovailoa. So maybe.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how many weeks, and we've had 0-16, 1-15. So I wanted to make sure that I was couching it the right way, putting it in the right perspective. This was like one of the worst football season weeks I can remember, because not only did you get blown out in week one, and everybody watched the game in the country, everybody. Yes. So you had to deal with that. You had to deal with the nonstop cavalcade of your team sucks, your quarterback sucks. That's never fun. Mm-hmm. Even though it's week one of the NFL, lots of teams get blown out. You see some weird results in week one. But you had that, and you compound it with the Watson story, and every day there's been a new tentacle of it. I just can't remember. Like, we're supposed to be turning the page, getting ready for week two, and hoping week one was a fluke. And yet, for the most part, this fan base is like locked into this Watson story, and it sucks. It has just totally sucked as a fan.
It's been difficult. It's been a difficult enterprise. I think a lot of us don't want to go back to the old. That summer of just court TV every day, they don't want to do it. But I think in that frustration, I don't know. I think it's created some insensitivities here that we have to be careful. But I mean, we're on air for 4 hours a day, and so it gets brought up. There's frustration. There's people calling in. Half the calls, when you see the subject matter, you don't even want to take them. And then sometimes you do, and you wish you could just dump it and move on, because it's just rough. It's just really rough stuff.
We waited all offseason of not knowing, like, how's Watson's shoulder? Yeah. How's his arm? Is he going to respond? We did make the playoffs. There was excitement there. The team is loaded. We're coming back. We went and got Jerry Jeudy. You know, no matter what NFL market you're in, you could be in Washington. You're excited. Carolina. Every market is excited about football because there's this abyss that seems to last so long where there's nothing. And then they basically have taken away even preseason and training camp is nothing to get all that excited about these days compared to when I was younger. And so it's like...
Which is weird. The NFL, real quick, the NFL has taken a four-month thing when we were little kids, really little kids, and has turned it into about 10-month thing. But then on the backside, you've really... just bogged down the preseason and training camp and everything where it's this hidden thing. The most exposed league out there that's like, hey, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this. It's always in your face with something. Training camp, behind closed doors. Do not look over here. Joint practices closed to the public. You cannot see our secrets. Oh, okay. And so right when you get ready for the season, the fever is not the fever anymore. To be bass-ackwards, but either way.
On a side note, when you lose in week one the way you lost, do we really need to close down shop for the joint practices? Were the state secrets, did it spoil anything? No, they still got their ass kicked in week one.
It's a great point.
Maybe next year, can you close up and let some fans get excited about your team and your brand? Maybe an idea?
Can't let any of the fans see Ronnie Hickman. No. Can't do that.
But anyway, honestly,
you should probably see Juan Thornhill because he's going to be on the IR coming up. So you better get a chance to go see Juan Thornhill while you can.
So that was
what?
Just...
What are you shaking your head at me for? Hold on. What are you shaking your head at me for?
It's a little rough on Juan Thornhill. He has a Browns tattoo.
Thornhill's a nice guy. Right. Juan Thornhill's a nice guy. I didn't say it, but like, it's been 2 years and it's the same injury.
I imagine Anthony last year because he didn't know who Juan Thornhill was, and it turns out he didn't need to learn who he was.
I know who Juan Thornhill
is. He's not in the uniform very yet.
That was the start of the free agency frenzy, right?
Oh, I'm always winning. Free agency.
Oh, that was a hell of a day that day. I was so mad at you. I was spitting mad. You didn't know the sport.
They didn't say he'd be out for the year, right?
He's only on for four weeks. Okay. But
they say IR, and people are like, he's out for the year?
It's calf. So
it's all 4 weeks now until it's out for the year.
I'm sure
4 weeks could turn into 8 weeks.
Thank you, because it's a calf, so it's...
Is that important? to run with?
Pretty important.
They give you two of them for
pretty important.
Yeah, you got another one. Just rely on the other one.
Go ahead with what you were saying.
So it's just this week, like I told you yesterday after the show, I'm like, have we even talked about the Jaguars? Do people even know anything about the Jaguars? I know we beat them last year. So
I think
maybe
they think of Tom Coughlin.
Tony Boselli.
Yeah. And Mark Brunell.
Yeah.
And
who is the
good
Fred Taylor,
Jimmy Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Jackson. Keenan McCardell. Yeah.
We both got there.
Yeah, we did.
So today,
we move on.
Today, can we talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars at some point? Jim Schwartz is fired up about starting 0-1. We've got some Ken Dorsey audio today that people sent my way and called him Baghdad Bob.
Whoa. Ken Dorsey is fired up about starting 0-1.
No, Schwartz.
Jim Schwartz. I'm sorry. Jim Schwartz is fired up about starting 0-1.
I was told this secondhand. So I said, well, that can't be true. He's not fired up about 0-1.
Well, let me tell you firsthand. Jim Schwartz came out and said it was better to start 0-1 than 1-0. And immediately,
where is this?
Because it's all packaged together.
Chess, not checkers.
Jeff Shaddell, my personal hero. I love the guy.
Jeff's the best.
Jeff Shaddell calls it.
At one time, teams that started 1-0 had a less chance to make the playoffs than the teams that started 0-1. The teams that were 0-1 had to confront their problems. They were embarrassed by the performance. It's a big game, and you have to go out, and it's an immediate self-check. So I think it's been a little bit more of that. We have a really proud group on offense and defense. They're anxious to put that week behind, come up with a win on the road.
Where'd you come up with that 0-1 number? That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I don't remember when that was, but I distinctly remember like telling the team that, who knows, maybe I made it up. I don't know. It sounded good, but again, you know, just with human nature and things, maybe somebody fed it to me to try to, but I think the message there is anytime you lose a game, there might be a little bit more urgency to confront your problems.
Shaddell is the best. He's the best.
He tried to fact check.
That don't sound right at all. Where'd you come up with that number?
Schwartz did go into, you know, I was in Detroit where they were really bad.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, we had David Muir all of a sudden. That's part of the press corps. Hey, when are you going to fact check Doug Peterson? Get out there and fact check him.
Oh, my God.
That's good to have some levity there in Berea for what's the only fly in the ointment, of course, is Jacksonville's 0-1 also, right?
Yeah. So they have to check.
Somebody has to win.
Where'd you come up with that 0-1 number? Pretty fast.
Yeah, I don't remember when that was, but I distinctly remember like telling the team that, who knows, maybe I made it up.
I just love the thought of
good for him.
Any question,
please come out with it,
that you could ask anybody in a position of power, anybody with a microphone. Right in front of them at any point in time, and go, where'd you come up with that?
Where'd you come up with that 0-1 number? That's pretty fascinating.
Well, at least we
have Ken Dorsey was reading off the numbers for Deshaun Watson. Hey, where'd you come up with that? That's interesting.
So the timeline of that was pretty early when Schwartz said the first part. I had to imagine that every beat writer was in there just Googling away, like, where is this stat? And finally, Shaddell was like, I can't find this thing anywhere.
Does it exist?
Just tell me.
And then he admits he might have made it up.
It sounds ridiculous. It does sound ridiculous. It's the same thing. The main thing's the main thing yesterday, which I'll give credit. A listener, Nick, Twitter Reactions brought to you by Schaubin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. 6:12 and 07 seconds for those scoring at home. I listened to the Move the Sticks podcast to Bucky Brooks in the latest episodes, like, the main thing's the main thing. I go, they must just say it, and maybe I'm just, because it is such a just
a nothing
throwaway
phrase.
Nothing phrase.
Nothing.
We might be a little too close to it where we just move on. And like we just move forward, and I don't even pay attention to it because I'm looking for something of substance.
Keeping like, the main thing.
Yeah, the main thing. I'm like, well, okay. I never even picked it up before. It's just, all right.
I told you, I just seen it on The Bachelorette.
Win the one. We're 1-0. Like that type of stuff. I don't even process it anymore. It's just, It's like the, what's that crap they put on your plate? At least they used to when you, actually, I don't see that stuff anymore.
Crepe poupon?
No, the green stuff they put on your plate to make it look good, but you don't eat.
The garnish?
Garnish. It's like the garnish of the rest of the phrase, of the rest of the answer, of the rest of the speaking engagement.
And if you're really hungry, you could still eat it.
Did you ever eat the garnish?
No. I'm sure at some point I tried to eat
it. I ate
part
the garnish. The first time I went to like a decent place, I ate the garnish, and my mother's like, honey, don't eat the garnish. And I says, what do you mean? And she goes, don't eat the garnish. That's there for display. I go, it's food. I ate it. It tastes like food.
Technically, like anything you put in your mouth is food. It's going down.
That's not necessarily true.
Well, the garnish is the garnish, and the main thing's the main.
You got to remember that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, good for the Browns.
Guys, we're trying to have some fun with this week.
Yeah, it's rough. Been a rough 4 days, and here we are. So, yeah, are you looking forward to the Jags game?
I am, because...
You sure about that?
Yes.
You going to feel that way at 6 o'clock on Monday morning?
Well, obviously. I have no idea.
I'm just making sure. I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page.
I think the main thing's
the main thing here.
I do think what Schwartz is ultimately getting at is you were humiliated in week one. We had Rodney McLeod in studio, humiliated in week one. He even said we didn't even need to see the coaching tape. Like, we knew where the mistakes were. We knew it, basically a huge slice of humble pie. I mean, all these teams are so fired up to start the year. Mary Kay told us yesterday, when I was a little bit cynical, like, boy, it seemed like we were being fed a lot of optimism from some of the players when I don't know how they could necessarily believe it. And Mary Kay's like, well, what are they supposed to say? They're going into battle. They're players. They're supposed to be confident. So I understand that too. But now, week two, after you get slapped like that, after you got knocked in the mouth to that extent, I do think you are going to see a fired-up Browns team. The problem is, I think you're going to see a fired-up Jacksonville team, too. They're home. They obviously did not like the way that first game went down.
Yeah, but isn't that considered a Browns takeover? It's Jacksonville. Like, aren't there going to be a lot of fans down there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there definitely will be.
Can we take over their defensive line? Because I don't know that anybody realizes, like, their rush and all that. That's pretty good.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, they don't have a Micah Parsons, but they are.
They got Josh Hines Allen. He's pretty good. They got Trevon Walker. Yeah. He was a first overall pick a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got players that can help them out.
He had two sacks in the opener against Miami.
So, I mean, you got something there that can help you. Now, I want to talk about Tua at 640 in earnest. I think that's a big conversation there. With what happened, if you didn't see last night, Tua sustained another concussion and it did not look good. And there was a lot of emotion that was tied to it. So we'll get to that coming up at 6:40 because it kind of goes along with what we were saying. Bills ran away with this one, 31-10.
How about the Bills first 2 weeks of the year?
Where they went right around Arizona. Because remember, Arizona, they started out hot, and they went around them.
They scored
and then,
65 points. I know they had a pick six yesterday, but they have 65 points in 2 weeks.
Yes, they did.
To start the year for a team that I know a bunch of the national pundits, it became trendy to say the Bills and Josh Allen, this is a rebuild year. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, what a great start.
Well, after that injury, it was almost like everybody just tried to get out of there. Like, the Dolphins were like, all right, we're gonna go 1-1, and that's going to be... We'll figure it out again. Which those, by the way, those throwback jerseys should just be the jerseys.
Yep, I agree.
With the Bills, like James Cook, like this is going to have to be paid attention to here, guys. Did we or did we not struggle against the Cowboys running the ball? Now their defense is decent, okay, but Buffalo rushing the foot. James Cook, again, things are different in this game because of what happened, but he averages 7 yards a carry. He gets 2 touchdowns in this game. You had 108 yards on the ground altogether by this team, right? Josh Allen only took off twice. Or excuse me, I don't think Josh Allen took off at all. I don't think he took off at all. Maybe just to save a play. I went back and I watched this morning, and maybe there's a couple of times. It says two, but I'm like, man, I don't know if he really took off at all. So now you have this
running
game.
That's weird to
see
that from them.
Yeah, and he only had to throw 19 times. That's all he had to throw. And it's a weird game to go on, but I want to go back to the game against Arizona. And you guys got to watch this, because there were, as much as I've defended Ken Dorsey when he got fired I have to pay attention to this. And the run game that wasn't existent in Buffalo, and already in one game, the run game that's just not there with the Cleveland Browns. Now, I could say what I want to about offensive line. Both teams have prided themselves on offensive line play over the last decade. But this is something that we're going to have to pay attention to going into this game against Jacksonville. And we're going to have to pay attention to after this game against Jacksonville, and certainly with the Bills throughout the rest of the season. Because yeah, Ken Dorsey ain't going anywhere halfway through the year. They're just not going to get rid of him. But this is something we got to go on, because you have to scheme run games open too. I can't just make Deshaun Watson throw the ball all over the place. Now, you're trying to get back into the game on Sunday, but you can't just make him do that all the time.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, we'll get to the Guardians in just a second and Gavin Williams. First, we start out with the NFL. Last night, the Bills dominant over the Miami Dolphins to get off to a 2-0 record, 31-10. But, of course, the big story, once again, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa left the game.
Tagovailoa. Oh, my God.
He left the game yesterday, Kenny, with a concussion in the third quarter. Now, this is the part that surprised me. The third diagnosed concussion of his NFL career. Didn't you think it was way more than that?
Felt like more, yes.
And obviously, again, confirmed concussion. So that is important. You know, this happened with Denzel Ward when we were wondering how many, because many games, precautionary reasons, we wondered he'd be in protocol, but then we'd find out later, no official concussion. With Denzel, Mary Kay, the last time she wrote about it, said five. He had been officially diagnosed five times. Well, Tua, it's only three, but yesterday, a litany of pundits, fans saying it's time for Tua to step away. What do you think, Kenny, when you hear fans, media telling Tua to have to step away?
I will tell you about that coming up at 6:40. I will tell you about that.
Here is Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel on having to get back in the right headspace to try to coach his team after that.
There's a lot of other people that are also depending on me, just like Tua is. So you have to look at it like that. That's where my mind goes. It's not the easiest thing in the world, for sure, but nor is having this job. So
obviously, he looked very, very concerned throughout, to the point where, you know, social media running rampant with photos of Mike McDaniel. He's not the happy-go-lucky Mike McDaniel when obviously that happens, but just a tough scene all the way around.
I try to be very critical of Mike McDaniel, Mr. Cool, things like that. He does seem like a good guy.
His players seem to love him.
Yeah, I know that he's genuinely himself. I understand that there were some problems in Cleveland, but he was not in the same headspace he is now.
Younger.
He was younger, wasn't he? And again, he battled through some things himself personally there. So I look at him a little bit different. I think that he shows you that there is a genuine care for his players, especially a guy like Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, it's quarterback. You should have a good relationship with your quarterback. He does seem to be a guy that's a genuine type of person, and why players would like him. Him having to speak on that matter, I think that's got to be very difficult here, because I think you bear some sense of responsibility where I know they get paid a lot of money, but you send them into these situations. And so you feel you can't be responsible for grown individuals like that, but you do feel a sense of responsibility afterwards going, what do I do? Have I sent you into the wrong situation? Has this been cleared? Because there's always a bottom line of you have to win. And they do not have as good a chance to win without Tua Tagovailoa. They do not have as good a chance with Skylar Thompson. It's just that plain and simple fact.
And by the way, Tua did not play well. You know, before that,
he threw a couple of picks. It wasn't very good.
Just terrible decision making.
Yeah.
There's a wider conversation. I don't know if today is the day to have it. Maybe next week. We'll see how this weekend goes. Just the quarterback play in this league in this opening week and then this game has been really, really bad. There's just no other way to sugarcoat it. So I don't know if that makes Browns fans feel a little better that so many other quarterbacks struggled as well.
I don't think it makes us feel any good at all. No? There's no schadenfreude here. We got to get this thing going in the right direction as soon as possible.
All right, Guardians, they fall last night. It was a rough one, once again, for the team and Gavin Williams. I was kind of dialed in there once the Bills game looked out of reach, and I was a little excited because you know, you see a 23-year-old come into the game in relief for the Guardians, who was their second-round pick just a season ago. You rarely see a guy get up that fast yesterday like they did. Have you been paying attention at all to Andrew Walters? He comes in. He gets an 0-2 situation. You're feeling good. Let's see how fun. Get his first strikeout. And next thing you know, he got pitch clocked.
Getting used to it.
That's pitch clocked.
He's just a pup, Tom.
Yeah, I know. It sucks.
Just a pup.
And then there's a stolen base, an errant throw into the outfield. He's on third. And, you know, that was all the insurance that the Rays need. They end up winning that game 5-2.
He got through it.
Yeah.
He got through it. Got his first appearance under his belt, and hopefully many appearances after this. Hopefully it'll be very good for them.
Yeah, Gavin Williams gave up 3 earned runs. Now, remember, he struggled in that game out in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. This one, he gave up 3 earned, 7 hits, 5 1/3, as, you know, they had a tough night last night.
You forget that he started the season late. Way late because not of the arm injury. Yes, not on the active roster. So a lot of guys are starting to get dialed in a little bit more. You know, Matt Boyd, Alex Cobb, if he could just stop getting blisters on his fingers, for crying out loud here. I mean, you've had guys start to really lock in, and I'm going to need Gavin Williams to lock in. But remember, his clock is behind everybody else's. So that's going to be something we have to – when you get to your postseason rotation, something you have to take into consideration here with this young man. But with the talent, it's going to be hard to deny him.
Meanwhile, Stephen Vogt, your manager, on getting ahead. That is the key for Gavin Williams.
You know, when he's pitching ahead, the games where he's really shown who he is, he's getting ahead with all of his pitches and he's able to execute. And we saw that a lot. He did throw the ball well at times, and just we didn't score enough runs.
Yeah, I mentioned Alex Cobb, and you said he's back with the blister. 15-day injured list with that middle finger blister. You don't like to see that. Because you're starting to think about this playoff rotation.
He's going to have to start soaking him in pickle juice like Nolan Ryan.
He did that?
That's what he did. He's got to do something because he broke his fingernail 2 weeks before that.
That's what he did.
And then took a perfect game into the seventh.
He should start walking
around.
And then
had a blister.
Do the oven mitt thing the way George Costanza did in the one episode of Seinfeld. Yes.
Get that guy some lotiony gloves or something.
Yes. Thank you.
By the way, congratulations to the Lake County. Are they still the Captains?
They are.
They are the Captains. What did they used to be?
They were always the Captains.
They were always the Captains?
Always.
Yeah.
You had a home run, Travis Bezzana, yesterday.
Yeah. What did you think? Wait a minute. What did you think they were called?
I thought so many of these teams change names now in the minors because they just want to end up selling more merchandise, or a team buys them, or a new ownership group buys them.
There were two names before that. They were the Columbus Indians before that in the 90s. And then right after, they went to the Columbus Red Sticks.
So when they were in Lake County, what were they called?
They've always been the Captains in Lake County, is what you're saying.
Yes.
I never made it to a game. This was something.
What does Columbus have to do with anything?
It's the same team. They just moved.
Oh. Yeah, but we're talking about Lake County.
I'm just going by what the team names were.
Now, what about Louisville? What were they? Have they always
been
the Bats?
The Boston Braves, and then they moved to Milwaukee.
Yeah, but we were talking about Lake County.
Now, were we the Spiders once?
We were. But wasn't that technically a different...
That's a National League team.
They should have been the Spiders again.
Uh-huh.
Bring back the Spiders. Let's do that. Let's dig that thing up.
Moving on.
By the way, your Browns getting ready. It was nice to see Amari Cooper yesterday fielding questions. He is somebody I think you look to. You look for... You know, a veteran, some leadership, Amari Cooper on the urgency to avoid starting out season 0-2.
You know, we got to be ready to play. We got to go out there and, you know, the theme of the offense is to go out there and score points, you know, every drive. And we need more urgency in that regard.
He is somebody who I think you're looking for to have a bounce back week. It's just him and Watson. Man, Watson's best throw of the day was when he got crushed and threw that deep ball and Amari could not haul it in. It's just those two guys you want to see on the same page, and you want your number one to be your number one, Kenny. You want your main thing to be a main thing. You want your number one to be a number one.
Holy God in heaven. I wish I never would have heard it. I wish.
Well,
I
now
wish.
Now this is all you're going to hear.
Yep.
Because I don't think it's just a sports thing.
Nope. It's a everyday thing.
Keeping the main thing the main thing.
By the way, because of the
words of
there
Bone
was
Thugs,
something else said in that press conference that we could hear a ton of, but I don't know if you want to.
No,
I'm in the same boat as you, boss man.
Do we have an oar anymore in that boat, Deshaun?
I'm in the same boat as you, boss man.
There were other shows that were...
that were up the creek without a paddle.
I'm in the same boat as you, boss man.
We didn't really dwell on that yesterday.
That wasn't our thing yesterday.
No, we did not. That was not the main thing yesterday.
So we'll go back to just being satisfied with keeping the main thing the main thing. And we won't be in the same boat as you.
What if PJ Fleck had a one-on-one with Deshaun Watson?
I'm in the same boat as you, boss man.
That's it for about last night.
What you heard right here on 92.3 The Fan last night, I mean, that's the first thing that said is the battling of the concussions. You're watching the game back over. I got it on NFL Plus. It's not good. The arm kind of stiffens, and you can tell his lights are out for a minute there. Can you tell a guy to retire? But hold on to that thought, because you wanted to ask me about that, and you've brought that up with another player we have, Mike McDaniel. It didn't, you know, it doesn't help, but you can't help to have emotions if you're a caring man, and Mike McDaniel seems to be a caring man. But this got a lot of people going, where you see the images of Mike McDaniel. He's clearly concerned, emotionally concerned. And he was asked in the post game his immediate thoughts after the Tua concussion.
My thought was concern, and I was just worried about my guy. So it's not something that you ever want to be a part of. You know, you hope not to.
So a lot of people are saying, like, oh my goodness, you know, he should consider retirement. Well, yeah, I mean, there would definitely be part of that conversation. I don't know how it couldn't be. But can you brought this up, Tone? Can you force a guy to retire? What's the conversation? Could you say a guy needs to retire? I remember this being brought up with Denzel earlier this year, just a few weeks ago, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting to hear McCarthy in the audio, a game that was right here on 92.3, The Fan, say something he's dealt with his whole career. And then you look it up and it's only the third confirmed concussion. Because what do most of us think? He's had many more, right? So the same thing with Denzel Ward. Denzel's got 5 confirmed concussions, but every year it's multiple times a year. Well,
Tua's the one that brought this back to the forefront, right? After it kind of quieted down on it. And they put him back into a game when he was a rookie or his second year.
That was as ugly as it gets, right? Knowing what we know now about concussions and CTE, which is still not as much as we'd like to know about it, but what we know about it is risking ever just for the sake of one game to put a guy back in a football
game. And if you aren't cleared up from the first one, right, you're only making it worse. But that still just counts as one concussion.
Right.
Because you never
fully... Right. So that's the hard thing is I see yesterday, Kenny, especially after that game, people want to end his career for him. I saw a ton of people. And what's his contract situation, Kenny? What was the contract
that
he signed?
Just signed a big contract.
Yeah, it was a massive contract.
Let me take a look-see here.
So, you know, is that something that are we saying if you're advocating for him to give it up and to hang up the cleats, like, are you giving him the contract too, or are you saying that gets terminated along with it?
Clearly, you know what? This clearly goes with the whole fully guaranteed conversation. Now, I if you can't finish the contract, you can't finish the contract. That would go against the guarantee, would it not?
Right. Yeah, they're not going to pay him to just leave.
Yeah.
4 years. And 167 guaranteed, 212.4 overall.
And the guarantees, really the guarantees. That's one thing I think we're learning about these NFL contracts is outside of really Deshaun Watson's contract, they're not all truly guaranteed. Maybe I think Kirk Cousins had one.
This one would have a potential out going into 2027 as well. So I just got it up in front of me, but what Owen just said is obviously true because he got it from SpotTrack. So, yeah, I think that conversation you're having is right. Like, these guys, because so many people are going, well, the NFL should have a number that you can't hit. Okay, well, if you have a number that you can't hit,
guess who's never going to hit that number?
I cannot imagine the amount of lying that will go into things. Yeah. I mean, good God.
Well, imagine being a doctor. You could say independent neurologist, but if everybody knows what that number is, Like, man, you want to end somebody's career? Well, end their family's ability to make money?
A doctor can only do so much. Ultimately, as a patient, I make my own decisions for my own health and my own life. Like, he can't... Keith is watching us through the camera, me eating a muffin. Like, Dr. Dornan can't come over here and slap it out of my hand, now can he? So it's, you make your own decisions there. And a doctor can only advise and say, no, I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do... But can I tell a guy to not try to go out there in the field for $54 million in 2026? I can't do that.
Well, that's what I wonder.
I can't do that.
Because I used to be a much, much bigger fan of MMA and the UFC. And the fans of these guys, they don't seem to care as much as fans in the NFL do. In the UFC, fans just want to watch all these guys. And yeah, they pick their favorites, but they're never lobbying for guys to step away. Like, they're always going to watch the next fight. Hell, Mike Tyson, it was supposed to... Is he ever going to actually fight one of the Paul brothers?
I don't know if that'll actually play out.
But, like, this is a very dangerous thing. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Everyone wants to see Mike Tyson fight one more time.
Mike Tyson's a grown adult. You make your own decisions as a grown adult. You go through that under your own volition. As much as I can wince about Tua Tagovailoa, I do have the option to not watch. I mean, when he had Ed Cunningham, who used to do games on ESPN, he said he was no longer doing them anymore. No longer doing them anymore. Because of the whole concussion thing years ago. So you can always choose to not watch if you're nervous about Tua Tagovailoa. But if he's a good enough quarterback to play, then he has a right to make his money. As upsetting as that thought might be, because it's, I don't know what else. Maybe Tua Tagovailoa is a really smart guy and he can do other things that are very, very, very lucrative. But you can't, you're not going to make this type of money. $56 million he's due. $54 million he's due in 2026.
Well, and I know we want to save these guys from what could be the ultimately the worst possible outcomes. Junior Seau comes to mind. And that's why there's so much more publicized, so clearly, much more that we know. The NFL's taken steps.
But they've done rules differently. I brought this up to you on opening night last night or last week with Kansas City and Baltimore. As much as we get so upset about the rules and say, put flags on them, put dresses on them, but the rules, you can't deny they're starting to work. Guys are tackling differently. Guys are doing things differently. Lamar, you saw Lamar on the second to last drive. They're driving down to try to get a field goal to bring this thing within a touchdown. Lamar immediately takes a hard right, goes out of bounds. Guys pull up. He is giving himself up saying, I'm going out of bounds. And the guys are pulling up. Remember the Kenny Pickett play at Pitt? Mm-hmm. And people are going, no, you are not doing that.
We have to fix that.
Because I don't need guys launching into people over that. You had the Kyler Murray play on Sunday where they were worried about contact and they're really going to call it. Like, the rules have changed. And frankly, the rules, as much as people roll their eyes, they're working. They are working. At professional football, I can't tell them not to go out and make his money. I want to ask Daryl about this. I want to ask Nathan about this coming up later on.